I have been given 25 minutes, but we'll cut that a little bit shorter, I think. Well, welcome to Carmel Community Church. If you're not a regular visitor or attender, this is how we normally do it. We're very relaxed. We believe that God is interested in everything that we do, and he wants to have an encounter with us. He wants to impart something to who we are as we connect with him and begin to walk with him on this amazing journey of faith. And I don't know where you stand on your perception of God, what he is and how he works, but for us he's very real. He transforms who we are, he works in our heart, and he really makes a difference to the way that we live in this world. He gives us a hope that is beyond natural hope. He breaks away our fears. He helps us in planning our future, and he promises a home in heaven. It's an awesome, awesome thing to become a Christian. We've heard some great stories this morning. I want to talk really a little bit about the choices that we make in life and the choices that the candidates who've gone through baptism this morning have kind of considered the choice that they have to make, and they have decided to follow Jesus. That's basically what they've done. It's a public commitment of their faith in Jesus, and they shared their stories. You heard them. We haven't prompted any of that. That is just from their heart, and they, you know, they are walking with God. He is making a difference in their life. And freedom of choice is considered a right of residency if we live, particularly in the West. We can choose where we live, where we work, go to school, who our friends are, what we spend our money on, who and what we believe. There's ultimate choice out there for everything, and that choice over the years has increased, and we almost have infinite choice in anything at the moment. As the time moved on, our decisions on choice have become more, I think they've become more complicated. You know, a few years ago, we were having a new kitchen. You think, well, that's easy, isn't it? You just go to the shop and you buy one. But you go to the shop and then suddenly there's a choice of styles and colours and materials, different things, different electrical items that you can put in. And suddenly what seems like a very, very simple choice has become very complicated. And even when you've done it and you think we've got everything right, you still go home and think, have I got it right? Is that the right one? At one time you could have a car, couldn't you? It was either black or white. And now you can choose your colour. It's just an amazing world that we live in, where choice just goes on and on and on. But it also brings sometimes an instability in our surety about the choices that we're making, because we make a choice and then we begin to change our minds and we want to choose something else, which is why so many things now, it's you can buy it, but you can bring it back. They've kind of accommodated our personal desire, haven't they? I'll give it a go. If I don't like it, I can take it back. And so where we put our choice in life is really important. When Jesus began his ministry on earth, he brought a different message. He brought a new choice to those living with him and around him. The message was about the kingdom of God, what it looks like, how we can access it. That is, you must be born again. And he was passionate about the people in the world. In fact, he was so passionate about you and me and everybody really who lives that he gave his life as a sacrifice for our sin. He made a way for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a choice that we have to make. This left the Israelites with this choice, and in fact the same choice that we are left with today. Do I put my faith in Jesus? Is he real? Can he make a difference? Does he do the things that he promises in his word or not? At the time of Jesus on earth, many saw Jesus as a blasphemer. There was a real challenge to the religious authorities because he was bringing something different. And so they said he was a blasphemer. He was undermining the authority of God. Some saw him as a healer. He performed many, many miracles, if you read in the New Testament. Many, many miracles. And so he became a healer. He became a provider. I'm sure many of us know the feeding of the 5,000. People would go. And I'm sure some went because they wanted to be fed. Not spiritually, but physically, he fed them. And some saw him as the Son of God the Saviour of the world, Jesus the Christ. As a sign to those in the community, people who decided to follow Jesus were baptised. They were taken down to the local rivers and they were baptised publicly, and they declared their faith in Jesus and their commitment to follow him. The first followers of Jesus, the 12 men who we call the disciples, saw this message about this kingdom of heaven that they'd never heard anything like it before. And it opened up their mind and their heart to something new. And they became his disciples. And just as the disciples were so real around the time of Jesus, we are his disciples today. Our commitment as a disciple is to live the life that reflects the kingdom values, both publicly and privately. That means we do the right things at the right times, whether seen or unseen. Many of us come to church on a Sunday and everything looks good. We all look very nice. We all look at peace. We all look as though we're enjoying life. But you know what's going on inside of you. You know the things that you've done. And we want those things to be the kingdom things. That is the commitment as a disciple. Our lifestyle, our language, our attitudes must be based on the teaching of Christ. In fact, our strapline is to demonstrate God's love by our actions, reactions, and conversations. Everything we do, God is interested in. Our decision to follow Jesus is more than studying theology, but a deep commitment to obeying Christ, even when it hurts. There are times when our faith can take us into hard places, when we have to make those hard decisions. Jesus told us to love our enemies, to forgive one another. And sometimes that's really, really difficult. It's a real challenge to our faith. But if we are a disciple, if we are a follower of Jesus, then that's what we do, even when it hurts. And that's what our candidates have signed up to doing, to living the life that they are called to live, even when it's difficult and it hurts. This is the attitude that we should have. It's in John 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me enough to follow me, if you love me to be called my disciple, then keep my commands. Do what I say. And that is a difficult thing to do at times. You know, Christianity is not an easy ride. When God is saying to us, if you love me, keep my commands. Do the things that I'm asking you to do. There are many religions today. There are many choices about spirituality, about spiritual life, the direction that we go. But the choice that we make is the key to success in our spiritual walk. Christianity is different to every other religion or faith because it's not based on what we do. It's based on what God has done for us. He empowers us. He helps us to live a faithful life. He gives us everything that we need. He gave his life that we might have fullness of life. He gave his life that we might have forgiveness. He gave his life that we might experience his love in our heart. He gave his life to set us free. No other religion does that. But this one does when we base our life, our choice on Jesus Christ. See, our walk with Jesus isn't based on what we do, but how we access all that God has done for us. Those who've been baptised today have made a decision to follow Jesus, to declare publicly their faith and obedience to follow the commands of Jesus, even when it's hard. It's not easy being a disciple. It's not an easy walk at all. Not an opt-out, but a lifelong journey of transition and change. He comes first. He must increase. John 3:30 tells us that. He must become greater. I must become less. That's a real challenge for us in our modern day culture, where the I is the more important than the they. But God really wants to flip that round. And he says, if you make me greater, you must become less. You must focus on what I want, not what you want. You must grow. He must grow more. We must grow less. This is a real challenge for a disciple of Christ. the battle to hand over ownership to Jesus. And I say very often that the greatest battles that each of us has in life is ourselves. It's not others. It's not those around us. We sometimes feel pressured. We sometimes feel not accepted. But the battle really is with us, because wherever we go with it. And that's really important to understand. It's the me that needs to be changed, not those around us. We always want the others, those around us, to see it my way, to do what I want. But the Bible tells us that we've got to decrease. We've got to love those around us as we journey together. Once we hear the message of the cross, once we begin to have the Holy Spirit begin to work in us and open up the truth and the reality of who he really is, we have to decide whether to accept or reject the gift of salvation. And today that's becoming more complicated as choice ever increases. Do we really want to put our trust in something that we're not sure about? Do we want to put our trust in a man who claimed to be God 2,000 years ago? But the reality is, when we do, he transforms our lives. Just read from Joshua 24, verse 15. I love this story. This is Joshua. He was talking to the children of Israel. He was talking about the journey they'd had from Egypt when they were in slavery, and they were journeying to the promised land. And as ever, in crowds, there are those that dissent. There are those that don't want to do what they should do. They don't want to put their trust in God. And Joshua said this: "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." What a powerful statement that is, that no matter what the choice is in life, as for me, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. So the question is, who are you committed to today? We're all committed to somebody. There's always somebody influencing us. There's always somebody we're listening to. But we've got to make that decision as to who are we going to allow to speak into our lives? Who are we going to serve with our attitudes, with our values, with our beliefs? Is it going to be Jesus, who we believe is the truth and the life? Or is it somebody else or something else? Our commitment today is for him to increase and us to increase. Become more God-focused and less me-focused. I'd just like to leave that with you. Just consider that. Who are you following today? Who are you committed to? Who is it that you, whose decisions that you base your life on? If we base it on Jesus, he makes an awesome difference to who we are and to what we do. Thank you. Thank you.